When you have a sec, please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. It helps those that can't sleep throughout the night find us. Now first, as I shut the door, I was alone. In the new house, and the wind began to moan. Old at once was the house, and I was old. My ears were teased with the dread of what was foretold. Nights of storm, days of mist, without end. Sad days when the sun shone in vain, old griefs and griefs not yet begun. All was foretold to me, not could I foresee. But I learnt how the wind would sound after these things should be. Welcome to the world beyond the veil. This is Geist.
I have told this story several times over years to several people. Usually people don't really want to hear it and they just kind of think it's weird or they're kind of ha-ha it or, not really believe it. But I know what I saw. I know what I felt. I know what I experienced. I know what my children saw. I know what I captured in photographs. And I have no doubt that there was something in that house that we couldn't see.
Corinne has lived in haunted houses. Her experiences extend all the way through to adulthood. She told me that she tries to look for explanations. She doesn't automatically go to the paranormal one. But a childhood trauma could have opened a door that perhaps she didn't consider.
When I was about, 5, 6 years old, I had a bad fall where I fell backwards and whacked the back of my head on the kitchen ceramic tile floor. Apparently blacked out, convulsed, foamed at the mouth. My mom called paramedics. They arrived. Remember being on the ceiling of my living room in the house that I grew up in and looking down and seeing myself, my little 5, 6-year-old body, and I can see the nightgown I had on, the knee socks, everything. It's like a short movie scene that constantly gets replayed in my head. I was seeing a bird's eye view from the ceiling of myself down, like on the couch, getting worked on or attended to by two paramedics in all white outfits on a blue velvet couch. And there's no reason why I should be able to remember any of that. I mean, apparently I wasn't even conscious. And I had been like convulsing and foaming at the mouth and I was not okay. And I can see the whole thing play out clearly in my head. Something was cracked open a little bit that day that gave me a little peek into a world that maybe not everybody has an opportunity to see into.
Corinne and her family reside in Pennsylvania, which is known to be pretty haunted. I'm sure Gettysburg is easily recognizable by our creepy community. So I guess landing in a haunted house seems pretty plausible.
So I have lived in multiple haunted houses in the area of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. One during my sort of middle school years. And the second was about 8th or 9th grade through a senior year in high school. My mom and my stepdad still live in that same house in Pittsburgh that is haunted. The last house that we lived in before this house is the house that definitely had something going on in it. The first two were in Pittsburgh, and then that's where I am from, that's where I grew up. And then the last house, is here in Harrisburg where we live now. After my parents got divorced, we lived in a house about maybe 2 miles from the house that I had previously grown up in. My brother and my mom and I had lived at my grandparents' house for about 8, 9, 10 months before. And my mom bought a little house in Mount Lebanon. It wasn't like her or our dream home or anything like that, but it was a place for us to start fresh. That house had a lot of very strange things that went on. It was a little vibey. It wasn't a house that, again, that I was never comfortable in it. I never felt comfortable in it at night. It always spooked me out a little bit. There was one incident that I can so clearly and specifically remember. One day we came home from school. My mom, you know, my mom was with us. She was coming home from work and nobody was home all day. We had no pets at that time. We heard loud water running, like a faucet running, and we couldn't figure out where it was coming from. And I remember running upstairs with my mom. It's what we called the kids' bathroom. The bathroom door was shut. And my mom opened the bathroom door, and it was just this full rush of steam that came, like, billowing out of the door into our faces. And the shower had been turned on basically all day long on full blast hot water, only hot water, like, no cold, cold water wasn't running. And it had run for so long and so many hours, and it was so hot that it had actually peeled the wallpaper off the walls. And then it was always things after that, like toilets doing weird things, bathroom sinks, kitchen sinks. Always water, just water running when it should, just turning on. Like, there's no way, there's no reason why these faucets could have or should have turned on by themselves. Like, they would have had to have been manually turned on or off. Kind of jokingly attributed it to a ghost or a haunting. It was never like some big, huge deal. We never made a big deal about it. It was just something we, I guess, lived with and coexisted with in the house. It spooked out my mom, and I could tell it did. She was always like, oh my gosh, this house is haunted. There's something going on here. But something in that house wanted to mess with us. Something wanted to know it was there. It had been owned by a plumber previous to us.
Fast forward a few years. Corinne's mother remarried, and the four of them needed a new house.
I was friends with a girl in eighth grade. And I had overheard this friend of mine saying at some point that they were going to be moving into a different house. And was like, hey, are you moving? Are you selling your house? My mom really loves your house. Maybe we can buy it. And so I reported back to my mom and stepdad, oh, so-and-so is going to be selling their house. You guys should try to buy it. Long story short, they ended up buying the house. So it almost was like the house was like calling out to us in some weird way. It was built and owned by a doctor in Pittsburgh. I don't think he was ever married. The house was built in like the early 1900s. So he was long gone at that point. And some very strange things started happening in that house as well. There wasn't really any initial feeling that I could like put my finger on other than the fact that it had that sort of like stereotypical big sort of like creaky floor, historic, older, you know, early 1900s home. The hauntings probably started pretty soon after we moved in, but they didn't happen to any of us, like my family members who lived in the house. They were happening to people who, like men who were coming to do work on the house. Their plumber, so he would come to my mom's house to do work. And on more than one occasion, when he was at the house alone, when my mom and stepdad were at work, and he came to do some plumbing work, specifically in the basement and one of the upstairs bathrooms, he left and called my mom and said, I'm not coming back to your house alone again. I saw a ghost. It was the ghost of a man that he saw in the bathroom, and I think he saw the same thing working on the hot water heater down in, like, the basement.
Experiences went on with visitors to the home throughout the years.
When my son was a little toddler, and my husband and I and two of our kids were living in Missoula, Montana at the time, and we had flown home to Pittsburgh for a week or so to visit my family. My son was probably about 3 years old at the time, and we were in the bathroom where the plumber had seen the ghost. One evening, giving my son a bath, and it was just my son and my mom and myself, and I was sort of sitting on the side of the tub, and my mom was sort of like, just sort of like leaning up against the wall, sort of behind me. My mom and I were chatting, watching him in the bath, but he was playing with his bath toys and the bubbles. And all of a sudden, he interrupted us, and he said, "Mommy," and he pointed to the corner in the bathroom. He said, "Mommy, who's that man watching me?" And my mom and I just, like, went stone-faced, cold, chills. We looked at each other like, holy shit. We've heard there's a ghost in this bathroom before from plumbers and other various people. So I'll never forget that. That was definitely like, I get chills just talking about it and thinking about it still.
Brynn's mom and stepdad still live in that home, and the hauntings continue.
I'd say about 3 or 4 years ago, my mom and my stepdad had the basement of their home completely gutted and remodeled, like gutted down to the studs in the walls. I mean, it was just basically a raw cellar at that point. And it stayed that way for a couple of weeks. There were some holdups in construction, so it was kind of like a raw, gutted out basement for a couple of weeks. And during those couple of weeks, my mom would wake up early in the morning to come down to the kitchen to make her coffee. To sort of the left of where she would be in the kitchen making coffee, there's an open doorway, and then it's like maybe 10 steps down to the basement. So you can clearly hear what's going on down there. There isn't a door or anything like that. When she would come down early in the morning to make her coffee and she would be standing in the kitchen, she would hear from the basement a woman's voice calling out her name every morning, and it would last about 10 or 15 minutes straight. You would just hear, Mom would send me texts at 5:36 in the morning. I'm standing here making coffee in the kitchen, and I hear a woman's voice in the basement calling my name over and over and over again. And it wasn't just my mom who heard this. It was my mom's good friend and next-door neighbor. One morning, Jen was at my mom's kitchen table, which would have been adjacent to the doorway down to the basement. And the basement was still gutted and torn up at this point. And they're chit-chatting and having coffee and playing cards. And Jen looks at my mom and says, "Susan, why do I hear a woman calling your name from the basement over and over?" My mom's cleaning lady was there one morning. And my mom had taken her cleaning lady down to the basement to just sort of show her what was going on, kind of thing. And they were standing down in the basement. My mom's chatting away, and they're just, like, looking around. And her cleaning lady also said to her, "Susan, I hear somebody calling out your name." The other witness accounts were completely unsolicited. She had not said a word, because she didn't want to tell people that she was hearing a voice from the basement calling her name. Like, that sounds nuts.
But it didn't stop there.
Then she started saying, "Get better, get better, get better," over and over and over again. And that went on for a couple mornings. And I talked to my mom about that a little bit. Like, is there, you know, are you having a health issue, or do you think you should get something checked out? I don't know. I wonder, like, who or why is there a woman's voice coming from the unearthed walls within my mom's basement? And once construction started going again and, like, you know, drywall went up and flooring and all of that sort of thing, she never heard it again. She hasn't heard it since. It's like it was unearthed, it spoke, it was covered up again, and it went silent. My, like, little inner voice tells me that she was talking about herself, like, asking for help, not telling my mom to get better, like, call, like, Susan, get better, like, help me get better, or can I get better, or I think it was a voice calling out for help. Like, if somebody was being treated in his house and didn't make it, and I don't want to be, like, I don't want to speculate or assume or, like, make up a story that isn't true, of course, but you just try to put the pieces together, and no denying that there is something in that house. I mean, it literally announced itself in more ways than one.
The house did belong to a doctor, after all.
So in 2005, we made the decision to move from Missoula, Montana, back home to Pennsylvania, and we ended up living in the Harrisburg, Pennsylvania area. Bought just a very traditional suburban two-story brick house on a cul-de-sac. So a newish house, not an old house.
But it was far from traditional.
From the day we moved into that house, I hated it. It smelled like cigarettes. It had a mold issue. It just never felt right. And I am one of those people who, I like being at home. I'm a homebody. And I always was in contention with that house. Always. I could never get it to be comfortable. I could never get it to look right, to feel right. And that's not like me. I put 90% of my effort and energy of my life goes into making my home comfortable. That house never felt right. Everybody else seemed to be okay with it. I seem to be really in my family, like between my husband and my three kids, I'm kind of the only one who is super sensitive to those sorts of things. A few things, maybe three or four things that really were odd that happened. Got early in the morning, it was still dark outside. And there was, I don't know how to explain it other than to say that there was a huge ball of purple, magenta, pink light glowing from the sitting room. I was laying in my bed and I was just laying there watching this light emanate from this room. And it wasn't coming from any source of light. It wasn't coming from any place. It just was. It was just there. And it was just glowing pink, purple, and then it just disappeared. I have absolutely no idea what it was.
This ball of light kicked off some pretty strange events.
It was a four-bedroom house, and we had changed one of the smallest bedrooms into a playroom for our two daughters, and then they had one bedroom that was like a bunk bed room that they shared. One night, my youngest daughter, who was probably about 5 or 6 at the time, came into my room and got into bed with me, and she was upset. And she said that she woke up and looked across her room, and in the doorway of her bedroom, she saw a man in a black hoodie standing there. But basically the best way I can describe it, and this is how she described it to me, this man or this figure in this black hoodie very quickly moved towards their bed and then got sucked back. And then moved towards their bed and got sucked back. And this happened several times where it just like, it would just move forward, get sucked back. But my younger daughter came into my room first. And I guess my older daughter, who was in the top bunk at that point, was still asleep. And then she came running in a couple minutes later and described the exact same thing. They weren't corroborating stories. Neither one of them knew that the other one had seen the exact same thing that the other one had seen. Even my older daughter also explained that it was like it would come forward and then go back and then come forward and then go back in a very like inhuman way.
This man in the hoodie continued to make himself known.
The photo was captured probably a couple years after they saw the man in the black hood in their room. So I was just outside with my camera, and we had a Great Dane at the time, and he was inside the house. I think I was outside with maybe one of my kids or something like that. So I have like a big Canon, you know, like professional camera, and I'm sort of like crouched down at his eye level outside. He's inside looking out at me. Just the way my eye works, I'm like, oh, that would be a cool photograph. I certainly didn't see anything in that window at the time. As I was sitting there kind of editing it, I was like, is that a face I see? Zoomed in and blew it up larger, and there was this face looking back at me from that photograph. And that's not my face. That's not me. That's not my reflection. But if you look closely, what I see personally is a man in a black hood in the picture. High cheekbones, deeply set eyes, long straight nose with a hood. And when I saw that, I was like, oh my God, I think I'm seeing what they saw. I think I'm seeing in my photo what they saw in their room. I have shown that photo to a lot of people, and people undeniably say they see a face. I'd say it's 50-50, try to say like, well, it's your face. And it's absolutely not my face. It's not. It's not me.
Corinne is a photographer, and she sent me a photo before this interview that's pretty, well, let's just say it's weird. Being a photographer myself, I can tell you that we're programmed to notice things like reflections. They are often a requested removal in post-production, so we try and avoid them at all costs. I have a hard time believing that Corinne, with a trained eye, would be mistaken about a reflection, certainly if it was of herself, which makes this photo very compelling. This hooded man continued in his efforts to be noticed.
So I was home alone a lot in those days. All three of my kids were either in elementary school or middle school or high school. My husband went to an actual office and worked every day. It was a weekday. It was around lunchtime. I had just fixed myself something to eat for lunch. I was standing at the kitchen sink. I was cleaning up. I had taken the plate that my lunch was on, and I had set it, I'd rinsed it off, set the plate down at the bottom of the sink, and suddenly, and I 150% like saw, felt, heard somebody coming up from behind me over my right shoulder. And I quickly turned around. And of course, there was nobody there. The feeling was so strong and so undeniable that somebody was there. I was going to turn around and see somebody. Like, my heart stopped beating for a second. I turned back around to finish my task at hand, which was to pick up the plate and put it in the dishwasher. When I turned back around and looked out into the sink, that plate that I had just placed at the bottom of the sink was cut clean in half. In two pieces, two equal cut in half pieces sitting at the bottom of my sink. I did not hear a crack. I did not hear a break. I did not hear a shatter. I hadn't moved. I hadn't moved my hands. I hadn't touched the plate in like the 2 seconds or 3 seconds that had passed by. I did absolutely nothing to cause that dish to break in half. It scared the shit out of me. And then I think I probably threw the plate away and was like, fuck this, I'm out of here, and went for a walk or something. I just think it was something in that house that wanted to get my attention. And that was towards like right before I think we moved out of the house. And yeah, there was just some like bad energy. I mean, on a day-to-day basis, it felt okay. But after that happened to my daughters and capturing what I captured in that photo and just that weird light that I saw in the house and then the feeling of my shoulder and the dish breaking, like looking back on it now, like I wouldn't want to spend the night in that house. I just wouldn't. Based upon what I've seen, felt, experienced over the course of my entire life, there is an afterlife. Those entities, those souls, those spirits in the afterlife, if they want to reach out to us or contact us or speak to us or send us signs or messages, they will and they can and they'll find a way. I don't need to have it explained or rationalized to me because I know what I've seen, what I've experienced, what I've felt. And I think that's a beautiful thing because why would we want all of this to end here on Earth? I mean, I find that there's a lot of comfort in knowing that when lights are out for me here on Earth, maybe there's something even better on the other side. Gosh, I wish some of these things could just be explained, but then it would take some of the mystical magic and allure out of it. I don't know.
A very special thanks to Corinne for sharing her story. If you have a story you've been hiding, submit it to us at hello.geist.podcast@gmail.com. Both written and recorded submissions are welcome. Geist is written and directed by Danielle Matar. Original music and FX by Bo Jensen. Mixing and sound by Adam Esker. Geist logo is by Jake Carruthers. Follow us on Instagram, TikTok, Threads to get all the latest news from Geist. Thank you so much for listening. And until next time, sleep tight.